Twain once said that few sinners are saved after the first 20 minutes of a sermon. And Kathy Ladman noted that all religions are the same, basically guilt with different holidays. I feel so guilty, let's eat. And Garrison Keillor admits that my ancestors were Puritans from England. They arrived in the United States in the hope of finding greater restrictions than were permissible under the English law at that time. I tend to be an apologist for religion, not for its politics, not for its being so often superficial, not for the violence, guilt, and hatred that is done in its name, but rather for its essence. Karen Armstrong claims that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a fundamental tenet of all major religions because the essence of religion is compassion. And compassion touches our soul in a way that lets us love and care deeply about others and our world. I was very moved by the discussion on forgiveness that we had last Sunday after our worship service. I was touched by our own confessions, by the struggles that we all share, and by the desire to heal and to be healed. I would maintain that this is what the religious impulse is about: healing and peace through compassion. But someone also mentioned the desire for a rule book that could help us get there, that could help us forgive others and ourselves so that we could be healed, as Eva Kaur so beautifully expressed last week. And so this morning is a follow-up to last week's service. And our congregational conversation this morning at 11:30 is also to follow up. Now, I don't have a rule book, but I heard on one of Sue's tapes a wonderful talk by the Buddhist monk Pema Chodron that I would like to share this morning. And I want to emphasize that aspect of compassion and empathy that is directed at ourselves, because self-forgiveness is one of the most difficult spiritual practices we are engaged in. Pema Chodron talks about Shenpa, a Tibetan word that is hard to define but comes close to the idea of getting hooked. Unless we are already enlightened or have incredible defenses, I suspect that we all get hooked by things that are either said or done to us. The defenses against our own pain do not help there. There needs to be enough self-awareness and honesty so that we can be open to what is going on around us and to our own bodies. Rather than denying being hooked, we need to acknowledge it. When someone says an unkind word, for example, or says it in a way that is hurtful, or makes some kind of judgment, our bodies tend to tighten up. We are hooked. This is what Shenpa is and what it feels like. I wonder if this is the reptilian part of our brain working, coming forth in a way that either wants to flee or fight. In either case, there is a reaction. We may keep it inside and grow resentful, or we may lash out with our own hurtful words. My own tendency is to go into intellectual mode, and with self-righteous indignation, somehow make sure that the other person feels less than. How easy it is to judge and blame the other person. The only problem is, I feel even worse afterwards, because I know what I did. And then it spirals into self-recrimination and self-denigration. All of this in order to protect my own pain. We might feel particularly vulnerable when someone criticizes us at work, or criticizes our child, or the way we look today, or maybe someone we don't particularly get along with sits beside us, and we feel uncomfortable. Or perhaps there is complete silence between two people because both felt put down by the other person. Then Shenpa, our sore spot, has been touched, and we're hooked. We might feel tense and wish to escape and get out of that place. Who knows how often this takes place at church? When someone leaves the congregation because this place does not feel safe or spiritual enough. So maybe Lenny Bruce is correct when he says that every day people are straying away from church and going back to God. This leaving happens at home as well. When a partner needs to take a walk and get out for a while, or a child shuts the door to her room because she wants nothing to do with mom and dad at the moment. When we feel shenpa, that unease, that triggering, that being hooked, we often find an habitual way of dealing with it externally, often through some kind of addiction, and internally through self-condemnation. To repeat Kathy Ladman, all religions are the same, basically guilt with different holidays, and I feel so guilty, so let us eat. Unfortunately, in the West, we have also been taught by our culture that people, including ourselves, are not always that good, that there is something intrinsically wrong with us. Sometimes we can use humor to help. Bill Mayer writes, "My mother is Jewish, my father Catholic. When I went to confession, I'd pray, 'Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and I think you know my lawyer, Mr. Cohen.'" But the root of the issue is that we need to feel and experience the shenpa and then not act it out. Marshall Rosenberg in Nonviolent Communication would say that when we get caught by what someone says, simply stop. Don't go into the habitual mode that is so easy for us. Simply stop. Pema Chodron says it this way, and I quote, "This business of not acting out I will call refraining. It's also called renunciation in the spiritual teachings. Renunciation isn't about renouncing food or sex or work or relationships. Renunciation means turning shenpa upside down or shaking it out. The interesting thing is that there is no way to really renounce shenpa. Someone looks at you in a certain way, or let's just face it, you hear a song, you have a certain smell, you walk into a certain room and boom, especially if it's trauma-based. And you know it has nothing to do with the present. Nevertheless, there it is, and it's involuntary. In the Buddhist teachings, it's really not about trying to cast something out, but about seeing clearly and fully experiencing the shenpa. If there's the willingness to see clearly and experience, then the prajna, that is the wisdom of clear sight, begins to click in. It is just innate in us. Wisdom mind is our birthright. It's in every single living being. It begins to see the whole chain reaction. To use modern language, there's some wisdom that is based on a fundamental desire for wholeness and for healing, which has nothing to do with ego. It has to do with wanting to connect and live from your basic goodness, your basic openness, your basic lack of prejudice, your basic lack of bias, your basic warmth. Wanting to live from that, it begins to become a stronger force than the shenpa and itself stops the chain reaction. One of the major aspects of Buddhism that is so appealing to me is that it doesn't do the sin and guilt stuff. Rather, it talks about suffering and the root causes of suffering. From that perspective, there isn't in the East a cultural bias that sees human nature as being evil or sinful or even neutral. As Pema Chodron said, wisdom mind and prajna are clear seeing, and it's just innate within us. It is our basic goodness, our basic openness, and basic lack of prejudice. And that is freeing. In fact, this to me is the way to see our first principle regarding the innate worth and dignity of every person. The beauty of this is that it can help change our entire perspective on life. Indeed, our whole worldview changes. when we see clearly ourselves as having basic goodness and basic warmth and compassion, that these are our birthrights, then the guilt and self-condemnation lose their hold on us. At that point, the chain reaction from Shenpa, from being hooked by something that stimulates a reaction, can be dealt with. It is not to be ignored, but rather acknowledged. If we can stop for a moment, look at that tender spot that just got hooked, and say, Shenpa, we have broken the habitual reactivity and the self-denigration. We do not have to judge or condemn ourselves. It may be that we said or reacted in a way that does not correspond with our personal values and principles, but we can say Shenpa to ourselves and express from an open heart our own regret. At last Monday's Brown luncheon, we continued the discussion on forgiveness and self-recrimination, and one of our luncheon mates quoted another Buddhist monk who said, the first 2 minutes are about remorse. Everything else is about ego. And it is the ego that suffers. Knowing all this does not necessarily take away all our pain or trauma, but it certainly allows us to engage in a practice that undermines the spiral into self-loathing. So I would like us to try this. I would invite each of you to think of a situation where you know you got hooked by someone or something. It probably happened this morning. Now, you might be able to do this more easily by closing your eyes, but whatever you're most comfortable with is fine. So think of something where you got hooked. Look at it clearly, clearly, without any judgment. Note the hook or tension that you felt then and perhaps still feel. And then either silently or out loud, say Shenpa, acknowledging that you got hooked. Note the feeling that you presently have and see if it is any different from before. Again, this is without judgment. Gradually open your eyes and come back to this space. Whatever just transpired for you, and perhaps nothing did, I would suggest that this be a form of homework this week, a spiritual practice. Anytime your body tells you you are hooked, tense or reactive, stop. Then see honestly and clearly the hook, and then say, Shenpa. Now, if this becomes an habitual practice, I suspect that resentment, blame, and self-criticism will lose much of its hold. I would not be discouraged if this does not have an immediate effect. We are trying to overcome many years of unwholesome habits. But I will admit to you that on occasion when I have done this, I have actually laughed out loud, both at the situation and at myself. It's then that I begin to understand the image of the laughing Buddha. So I hope I hear the word Shenpa a lot this week, and not necessarily from me only. May it be so, blessed be, and amen.